It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality Live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Nonprofits, the show where we discuss news and topics of the day from a skeptical humanist perspective. My name is Richard Gilliver and today's topics are abortion before Roe versus Wade, digital safety tips for both those who are abortion providers and those seeking abortions, what we can do to fight back against Roe versus Wade, and churches versus scholarship. And you know I'm going to have a lot to say about that one. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to our host for this evening. First of all, we have my very good friend and co-host on many a show, and very statuesque, Mr. Josh Entsner. How are you doing, my friend?
As you can see, I'm just like frozen with rage right now. These topics are heavy, they're infuriating, but they're definitely something that needs to be talked about.
Yes, they are indeed. And next to Josh, we have the one and the only Genevieve. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. It's been a long week, month, year, centuries, you know, go as far back as you want. But I'm glad to be here because these are very important discussions to have.
Yes, they are indeed. And our very special guest, Zachary Shedd. Thank you for joining us and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I am currently, a sophomore at UTSA, part of the Secular Student Alliance there. You might remember me from the Truth Wanted show. Philosophy minor, and I enjoy very much talking about these topics, and I am very much looking forward to our later segment on the church versus scholarship.
Yes, me too. This is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the separation of religion and government, and don't we need it at the moment, and promoting positive atheism. As with all our shows, links to today's topics and the news we discuss are available in the description below. And a reminder that if you want to come into the show prepared, you can check out the nonprofit's Facebook fan page every Friday night for a list of the articles of ahead of time. So I believe that Josh is going to lead us into the first article.
Yeah, I am. And everybody knows already that we went back 50 years because of this corrupt court that we have in the U.S. right now. We just had Roe v. Wade overturned for very terrible reasons that are definitely religiously motivated. And because of that, we're going to talk about how it was before Roe v. Wade. So we had an article of Lessons from Before Roe, Will Pass Be Prologue by Rachel Benson Gold. And she basically just tells us how like abortions happened, whether or not it was legal, how people died trying to get trying to get abortions, that there's so many people that wanted to get abortions and couldn't, and illegal abortions were happening to the point where like 200,000 to 1.2 million people were dying. So it's pretty horrible how things were going on back then, and we're probably going back that. So we're going to go over the history of what went down before Roe v. Wade, and so hopefully we can energize ourselves to fight against what happened here. I'm just enraged about this whole thing. Like the amount of people that are dying because of this, I think it was like 32% who almost 1 in 3 Americans who wanted no more children were likely to have at least 1 in 10 pregnancy. And that's just, and then they had no options other than to go for illegal abortions at this time. In the early 70s, it was available for women who were able to prove it, but they had to permissions in order to do it from their doctors, and it was harder. It wasn't something like they could just take care of. They basically had to fight for the right in order to get their abortions. Zach, did you have anything that you wanted to add on to this?
So I also wanted to add on a little bit more, sort of as an addendum to this, is this is very bad, but there is, and I hate to be morbid, but it can get worse. I found another study from the Guttmacher Institute, the same website that first article comes from, and it noted that whenever abortion was legalized and whenever abortion rates fell, that contraceptive use also rose. And so from a certain point of view, it can be seen that as rights increase, so does abortions and so does contraceptives, the use of contraceptives. Here's the problem. Judge Thomas mentioned that the Supreme Court needs to be looking at, or rather reconsidering, previous rulings. And one of those included the married couple's right to buy and use contraception without restriction by the government. So while abortion is bad, it is possible that it can get worse. Abortion is like the safety net, and contraceptive is another hurdle towards suffering. And they are trying to remove these hurdles, which we need to put back up. We need to continue fighting this, and we just need to keep that in mind, as it can get worse, and we need to be aware of
it. It's definitely going to get worse, but because of these religious judges, they're already talking about how they want to push for the contraceptive bans and bans on like gay marriage and stuff like that. But we already have like plenty of examples in this article of how fucking bad this whole thing could get. Like, there's no, I don't know if you guys have been on Facebook or any social media right now, but people are giving stories of people that are already dying because their doctors can't perform necessary surgery for like ectopic pregnancies and stuff like that. This is like doctors have to weigh whether or not they can give necessary surgery or possibly lose their license.
Oh gosh. I genuinely don't even know where to start with this. I think it's important that we remember, and Zach, I'm very glad that you brought up Clarence Thomas's remarks on which Supreme Court decisions we should be looking at next. Because it's important to remember that the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the talks of overturning Griswold, Obergefell, and Lawrence, and all of the hundreds of anti-gay, anti-trans laws that have been passed in multiple states across the country are all sides of the same coin, which comes down to far-right Christian nationalists attempting to control the morality and behaviors of Americans. It's absolutely abhorrent. I can't describe the feeling I had on Friday when I heard the news, and on the Saturday when I woke up the next day. It genuinely reminded me of the days after my father passed away, and I would wake up and suddenly be hit by this wave of realization. Just waking up and remembering, oh yes, this terrible thing happened. And I'm fairly fortunate that I live in a blue state, so people will say, oh, don't worry, your uterus is fine, your rights are fine. But I genuinely give no flying fucks about that when millions of women in over 13 states so far have essentially lost their entire bodily autonomy. If we're going to talk about what the United States was like before Roe v. Wade, I'm so saddened when I think about how many young women, how many mothers, how many people lost their lives because they could not access a safe abortion. Hospitals had entire wards that were specifically dedicated to dealing with women who were bleeding out and dying nightly, constantly full of people who were unnecessarily harmed. It's so unbelievably frustrating to be in this situation, and it will take years to fix, because unfortunately the Supreme Court is a lifelong appointment. So just buckle up.
Yeah, we certainly need to do that, don't we? It struck me that the article itself we're looking at today is like from 20 years ago, and it felt even then the need to talk about like how important Roe versus Wade was, because that's the entire focus of it, looking at abortion before Roe versus Wade. And now it's like, we just seem to, and I'm not in America, as you can probably tell, but I'm not in America, and even outside America, this just feels like a massive kick in the teeth to everybody.
Absolutely. Like going back to this, like it was talking in the article, it was like 1930, they listed the official cause for death for 2,700 women having died of abortions. And we had in Harlem alone, it showed in 1962, 1,600 women were admitted to Harlem Hospital for incomplete abortions. Like they see all this kind of stuff, and it seems to go right over the right wing religious Christian fascist heads right now, because they're worried about getting the abortions for their base. They're so, like, you go online, you see like all these videos, like my Facebook feed is full of like abortion propaganda where they're trying to show you how horrible it is, like a baby struggling from the inside, instead of like going to the facts of what actually happens when you ban abortions. They're just playing up towards their base. They're trying to play, like, they'll use loaded language, like it's a baby, not a fetus, you're a murderer or something like that. It's all ignoring what's happened in the past. The only thing that banning abortions does legally is it bans safe abortions. And so women are going to die. People with uteruses are going to die. I don't want to exclude anybody, but this is terrible.
Yeah, Zach, you had something else to say on it.
Yeah, so also I should mention in the same article, it also points out that abortion bans, and specifically making abortion illegal in the past, specifically affected poor people and women of color. It was extremely detrimental to these communities. And I think that the article mentioned that birth was like 26 times more dangerous for a Puerto Rican woman compared to a white woman. So it did disproportionately affect disenfranchised community and impoverished.
Yeah. And to sort of jump off that as well, something that, you know, when we're talking about what the United States was like pre-Roe, we have a lot of horrific information about that. And I think one of the silver linings that I almost found in this situation was, well, at least we do have modern medicine. At least we do have access to telemedicine and safer abortions. And I hope that we won't see as many back alleys or coat hangers as we did back then. But that is a pretty shitty silver lining, because we don't even have to look too far into the past to see what is going to happen. Because as of right now, when we look at state by state data, we see that states that have very restrictive abortion laws also have higher maternal mortality rates. And as far as how that directly impacts poor women, and particularly women of color, the maternal mortality rate for Black women in the United States is 16 times higher than it is for their white counterparts. We already know what is going to happen, and women and people with uteruses are going to die.
Yeah, and that was the case before, as well as when we look at the statistics from before Roe versus Wade, it was the poor who fared worst. And then a study of low-income women in New York City in the 1960s, it found that almost 1 in 10, which is 8%, had ever attempted to terminate a pregnancy by illegal abortion. Almost 4 in 10, 38%, said that a friend, relative, or acquaintance had attempted to obtain an abortion. Of the low-income women in that study who said they had had an abortion, 8 in 10, 77%, said that they had attempted self-induced procedure, with only 2% saying that a physician had been involved in any way. And, you know, that reflects in kind of the fears that we're looking at now, because even physicians are scared. The doctors are saying they're scared of doing these things in case they have legal ramifications put against them. A lot of this fear is kind of looking back, as we're doing, on what was happening before and looking at those statistics, which we have available for that.
We can hope for the medical intervention being better, but this is also just taking medical intervention off the table for things that need to happen. Like, there's a lot of medical complications that could come about by losing this. And we've progressed a lot, but like taking it out of doctors' hands is not the right way to do this. This should be something that's it's shown in the past that taking this away from them does limit doctors' choices and does leave death. Back then they did still have states where they would try and travel for it, but like traveling wasn't easy back then. It's still not easy for people nowadays, like with how things are. This is a real big regress, and it wasn't good for the people back then. It's definitely not good for the people now.
No, it's certainly not. Genevieve.
Gosh, I want to focus on what we were faced with pre-Roe, but I think it's also important to point out that just on Friday, clinics around the country were scrambling, canceling appointments, calling hundreds of people, hundreds of couples to cancel these services, just kind of sending people today into a massive tailspin. And there was even one woman who went to the doctor with severe bleeding. She had an ectopic pregnancy and she almost bled out because her doctor had to spend 9 hours reaching out to their lawyers and their legal team to make sure that he could perform a procedure on her without losing his license and without getting sued and without getting fired. As soon as we decide that these religiously driven laws and morals are more important than the actual genuine medical advice of a doctor and the opinion of a person who is in their care, we have fallen so far. And we fought so hard 50 years ago, 100 years ago, to obtain these rights, and to have them stripped away overnight is just shocking.
Yeah, and as we've said, we are going to return, I think, to... No, it's not going to stop people wanting abortions. It's not going to stop people getting pregnant. And before Roe versus Wade, abortion, both legal and illegal, had been part of American culture. In fact, estimates of the number of illegal abortions in the 1950s and the 1960s range from 200,000 to 1.2 million per year. And that's not just going to change overnight. People aren't just going to stop wanting abortions or needing abortions because somebody's decided that they're not allowed to have them.
Yeah.
Well, another thing we mentioned earlier, first and foremost, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is affecting all states, but some states will keep it legalized. That may change in the new future, but for right now, there are still places to go. The issue is, as already stated earlier, historically and today, banning abortion affects those most vulnerable. It affects the most poor. It affects the impoverished. And it's dangerous for people to leave state. I've heard stories of people that have been prevented from leaving states because they were suspected to be leaving to get an abortion. And so this is going to present a huge issue. Is even though we do have these states that are safe haven, there are still people that are going to be situated in like New Orleans, and they have to travel across states in order to make it to a safe haven. I think that's going to be one of the biggest issues. One of the biggest problems is the South, because all of these states have banned abortions and there's a huge swath of land. You can travel 10 hours in Texas and you'd still be in Texas. Can you imagine what it's going to be for someone at the tip? It's going to be really bad. And so, yeah.
I live in California. I'm lucky that I'm in one of the states where people can still legally get abortions, but this is not something that should be a state by state issue. This is something like, I don't understand the idea of a law that works in one state and a law that's in another state. Restricting freedoms one place and allowing it in other places doesn't make sense. They're going to come for the states like mine. They're going to try, and we need to be paying attention to that, because of this is just that you'll see that they're talking about it's a state issue. That's how it always should be, but they're not going to stop there. We've already heard Mike Pence talk about going for more power and trying to take it into the federal laws so that it's across the board losing abortions. And I know we're supposed to talk about the past, but we've seen the past reflect onto the present and just how the power grabs are going to go. And like, we're open. There are ways that people are trying to like fund people getting out of state and getting into safe havens for this. And even like other countries, you've talked about, Canada is talking about how they'll let people in, but you got to be paying attention, because there's talks about even trying to prevent people from doing that. They're trying to inform the laws from the past with like bullshit standards that don't make any kind of sense, and they're not going by what's actually happened in the past. And all that's happened in the past was people died unnecessarily about these abortions because people worried about, well, this is obvious, this was propaganda by the Republicans in the first place. They didn't used to even care about abortions until they made it into a legal issue that they found out their voters cared about. So until they could manipulate, then it wasn't an issue. People need to look into the past and see that abortion being an issue has not been like a big thing in the United States for a while. We were getting abortions safely, and then suddenly the right decides that they want to push their bodily autonomy for people that can have babies on they wanted to push that away from everybody. And we're going to have to be fighting hard against it because they waited 50 years patiently to try to get these overturned. They were like constantly pushing, sneaking people into the courts that definitely should have been in the courts, denying some people, some presidents the right to choose their somebody in court, despite the fact that they weren't allowed to, despite the fact that they were still in office, and they snuck him in another justice in later.
Yeah, Genevieve had some interesting notes about pre-Roe versus Wade abortion and how if I remember rightly, how they looked at life, and now it wasn't even considered a life like they do now. They talk about very much about life being in the womb. But before that, Genevieve, you'd talked about life not being considered life until breath came into it.
Yeah. And I will say that the Catholics, they've always had a stick up their ass about this issue. They've sort of made up their minds about it. But for, you know, Protestant evangelical Americans, for a long time, they saw the right to an abortion, the right to choose, as something that was important to uphold. They did not see abortion as sinful. I mean, we saw this in the Southern Baptist Convention, in the statements that they made in the 70s multiple times, saying that there were ample reasons why a woman would need an abortion, whether that be for medical reasons, for cases of rape or incest, or even for financial or emotional reasons. And prior to Roe being, you know, prior to the ruling, we even had an entire organization made up of interfaith clergies and church leaders who were assisting women in finding safe abortions. And it's really terrifying to see specifically why this changed. And this change in the narrative had nothing to do with Roe v. Wade, you know, passing. What this had to do with was Christian schools like Bob Jones and Liberty University, which went by another name at the time. After Brown versus Board of Ed was passed, after we desegregated schools in the United States, they were told that if they did not desegregate, if they did not allow Black students at their institutions, then they would lose their tax-exempt status. And Bob Jones, in fact, did lose their tax-exempt status for a little while. And so even then, these church leaders realized that they couldn't go out there into the streets and tell their congregants that they should vote for conservative politicians who hate Black people and want to keep them away. Because even then, that wasn't very popular. But this argument about the unborn, this argument about abortion being murder, that was something that they could absolutely quickly, very quickly change people's minds about, regardless of the fact that it's not biblical, regardless of the fact that they once had compassion for these women. It's amazing how overnight they, through this propaganda campaign, through political organization, we have come to where we are today, where most evangelicals that I've spoken to about this have no idea that that was just their position 50 years ago. It's tragic.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed, and it is tragic. We're going to wrap up the first article. Just a few final thoughts. I'll go with you first, Zach.
I don't think I have much more to add versus compared to what I already have. It could get worse, and it's not based in American tradition to ban abortion.
No, it isn't, Genevieve.
Well, you know, the last thing I'll say is that, you know, when reading this final decision by Samuel Alito, it's so frustrating that they point to this not being written into the Constitution, nor is this part of the traditions of the United States, because as Zach just pointed out, yes, it is. We've always had abortion. But secondly, I wonder why the fuck it wasn't in the Constitution. Was it because it was written by a bunch of young white men who did not consider women as their equals? If that is the standard that we want to apply to the decisions that we make today in the 21st century, there are a lot of rulings that are going to go away, and they will be the ones that do not benefit straight white men.
Yeah, white privilege has been around for a long time, and it's still here, unfortunately. Josh, your final thoughts?
Speaking as somebody with white privilege, we're supposed to look to the past to inform the future, or else we're doomed to repeat it. I know that's a very overused quote, but it definitely seems like the court did not look at the past at all when they made this decision. They did not take into account all the people that are going to die by them banning these abortions. This was purely religious in nature, and it's pretty damn horrible.
Yeah, it is indeed. Okay, let's move on from that. It got a bit heavy there. So I want to thank both our new and veteran viewers for getting us to 10.6 thousand subscribers. So if you're watching us now and haven't subscribed yet, get onto that. Once you've subscribed to the like and the ring the bell thingy, so you can always know when a new Nonprofits episode premieres. It's every Sunday, 3 p.m. Central. But you already do that. Then share the link to our channel with your friends, family members, co-workers, that neighbor guy you don't really like, and the one that you do, and even the prostitute penguins in your life. Anyone and everybody, let's get the word out there so we can start helping with those fundraisers. And are you aware? I'm sure you are. And if you're not, you're about to be. That the Atheist Community of Austin has another YouTube channel. Check out the Atheist Experience Network, a channel where you can find all the ACA shows in podcast form. Subscribe at tiny.cc/ATNpodcasts to listen to the episodes of the Nonprofits, the Atheist Experience, Secular Sexuality, and all of our other ACA shows so you don't miss a single episode. Okay, Genevieve, would you like to lead us into section two?
Yes, absolutely. So as we have pointed out, I'm so sorry, this is still going to be dark. It's the nature of the episode tonight, forgive me. As we've already pointed out, we are going to see women, people with uteruses, pregnant people, abortion providers, etc., being faced with a lot of scrutiny from law enforcement in these states where these abhorrent laws have been passed. So what that means in the 21st century is that if you are suspected of aiding and abetting an abortion, if you are suspected of performing one or of having one, there is a very good chance that law enforcement will gather your data. We all have very large digital footprints, and I tend to think it's a good idea to be cognizant of that in any situation. But because of the unique position we are in now, it is very, very crucial that you practice safe browsing and focus on your digital security. So we actually have a couple of articles and resources here, one from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, another great list from BuzzFeed News, talking about the various ways that you can protect yourself when you are searching for care for yourself or a friend. Would anybody like to dive into some of those tips? Or I can give you a quick synopsis of a couple of them if you'd like.
I'll jump in. One of the most important things that we need to be worrying about is I don't personally need to worry about, but everybody that can have an abortion or has a uterus needs to be worrying about this, is keeping your data separate from like your usual data that you have on your computer. If you're working on a computer all day, make sure like maybe you're using a different browser from what you usually using. So if you're in Chrome all the time, maybe back off anything related to birth control or tracking your period into Firefox or something like that, which I know is not ideal, but it's what you got to do if you want to keep this kind of thing safe. Make sure your security settings are turned up about as high as you can get them, because you don't want your information to be tracked. Make sure your cookies are not getting turned on. I know it's so much easier just to like click on a link and have all your information all the way there, but you're going to want to turn off your cookies, because that's how they can track what websites you're constantly going into. You leave the digital footprint when you're using those. They're not just something that's delicious to eat. You need to be like, honestly, I've seen everybody talk about deleting their apps for tracking their periods. They do list an app in here. I think it was a Yuki for tracking the period. But if you can, I'd say almost go analog. Go back to the Stone Age and maybe use pen and paper if you can, and keep it in a safe place. It's not like out in the open, because there's zero way that they can track that with your digital footprint. It may not be ideal. I know not everybody can go back to, I can't even read my handwriting now because I've gotten so used to typing, but it may be something that might be useful for going back that way on it.
Yeah, indeed, Zach.
Yeah, and I'd like to jump in to add on to clearing your browser history. I need to enforce why this is so important. Back in 2017, a woman was arrested and charged with second-degree murder because she had a Google search for misoprostol in her search history. that's all the evidence it took to charge her with second degree murder was a search for an. So first, definitely emphasize that. And second, don't only go for your typical mainstream browsers like Firefox or Safari or Chrome and just go between them. There are also safer options you can use. For example, there's something called the Tor browser. It's a little bit riskier, but it is extremely anonymous. It's the way it works is really interesting. It basically bounces your traffic around so that you cannot be tracked by the websites you visit. And second, one that I actually use is Brave. It also adds on a layer of security, and it also functions as an ad blocker. And there have been instances where data of people who've looked up things similar to surrounding abortion have had targeted ads, targeted at them by anti-abortion activists. So there's another thing. And finally, if you can afford it, a VPN is great. A VPN will further separate you from your actual digital footprint in the real life because it makes you seem like you're somewhere far away. So it actually puts a barrier between you and your internet service provider. So it's really hard to find you in your location.
Yeah, I work in the medical field, and we have to use VPNs in our work so that people cannot track where our data is going from. And that's so the medical companies are using it. It's definitely something that's good protection, hard for them to break into. So that was a good idea there.
Yeah, and as a complete technophobe, these tips are absolutely vital. You know, I'm of a generation, an older generation, where we didn't have computers at one time, and we did communicate by pen and paper and the old dial-up telephone, where you had to wait about 9 hours to get a number through because you just pulled it and let it go, and it took that an hour to get back, and you had like 9 numbers to type in. So yeah, I've people like me have no idea how to use this kind of stuff, and technology is a whole new thing. So it's very, very important for everybody to have this knowledge and these tips. And this article gives a brilliant synopsis of the different ways you can do that. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you need an abortion and you're there and you don't know what you're doing, and the first thing we do in this modern age is go onto the search engines and type in the information. And, you know, if you're not sure, you're going to be more specific with what you're typing in, then that's exactly what this article gets us to try and avoid. Putting those specific things in, not having that security in place, avoiding those and I want to be very clear here that we're not going down conspiracy theory route in this. This is just normal, everyday, safe browsing ideas and things like that. It's not kind of this, a giant 9-foot lizard alien queen's going to jump out and get you. It's none of that. This is just good, safe browsing etiquette. And it's fun. I would implore you to go into the article and have a look at that. Anybody else got anything on that specifically?
Yeah. I would not, if I were you, be too self-deprecating about showing your age, because I think that honestly, a lot of people today can learn a lot of things from the analog generation. A lot of the advice that I kind of want to throw in there as well is that yes, absolutely, Tor browser or another safe one, a VPN if you can afford it. That's bare minimum. You can't get away with just clearing your browser history like you're trying to show hide your porn from mom and dad. I would say find yourself a phone book. Like everything, all the things that we Google, all of these questions that we want answered, there once was a time when we didn't have computers, and all of this data is still manually available. Go to your local library. You can use their computers. You can get yourself a phone book and physically find a phone number that you need. Get a burner phone. Get yourself not a smartphone. Get yourself a Nokia brick. It should have a green background and no colors. They're great. I think I still have mine from 20 years ago. And you know, just like you said, Richard, this is not because we're being conspiracy theorists. As Zach pointed out, this has already been used to punish people who have been accused of having abortion. This is just, you know, I would implore you to read these tips, read these articles, and make sure that you are being safe in all cases. Unfortunately, seeking basic medical care, we now need to act like we're all drug dealers, but I'm sure your local drug dealer also has some good tips, so you can always ask them as well.
There's a reason your local drug dealer does those things, and that's so he doesn't get caught. Josh?
Uh, uh, definitely look into encryption for your computer. All these things that we're talking about for data security on your computer, it's not 100% foolproof, but it's definitely a good idea for you to do. If you're having problems like Richard does with technology, there are YouTube tutorials on how to do anything. And if you're just looking up security and you don't have to add the word abortion into it, just like security settings on your computer, how to encrypt it, how to use all these secure sites, you can find a YouTube tutorial for any of this stuff. So if any of this sounds like Egyptian to you, there is a way for even somebody that doesn't understand technology at all, like Richard, to figure this out. Another thing that's listed, if you're going to a clinic or you're going out of state, if you're going to a clinic, try to figure out the directions beforehand. So, and maybe not bring your phone or computer around with you. Because they can track if you, especially if you have the tracker on your phone, you can turn it off. But I'd say I would probably be forgetful to turn something off if I'm always using the phone on me. So maybe figure it out beforehand and then go ahead and go to the clinic. If you're going out of state, you're definitely going to need to take your phone with you, but have the burner phone. And when you actually go to a clinic, maybe leave it behind wherever it is that you're staying. Cause they can't stop you from having a vacation, and just going into California from another state isn't necessarily suspicious for everybody. So just be smart about it. Definitely start thinking like you're paranoid and somebody's following you. Cause maybe having that kind of mindset it's what you need to think about what you may be missing, what area you could be covering yourself. Even if you do it and you could end up having zero issues at all, it's definitely better to be safe on this than sorry, because they're going to start coming after you like you're a murderer if you're having abortions. And there are sites that they list off in this article where you can also, if you want to help people get abortions, you can like donate to funds that can actually help with travel and stuff like that. They're saying not Planned Parenthood. According to the articles, they're doing fine with the funding, and not every single state Planned Parenthood is going to be helpful, but it'll list off like areas near you where you can find abortion clinics or areas that will help get passage for people that need abortions in another location.
Yeah, some good advice there. Zach, anything else on this one?
I just want to stress again to be very careful with your online presence, and sticking to analog, I think, is a very safe thing to do, because there are so many trackers nowadays and so many complicated agreements that you could be doing something, or a company could be legally doing something to you that you don't want having tracked, especially in our modern day and age with the reversal of Roe. So I would actually say try to stick with analog when you...
Yeah, Genevieve?
Yeah, I would just, it's funny when I'm sort of thinking about this, there's nothing enjoyable about the situation, but I have fond memories of being a child and going somewhere new and looking up the directions on MapQuest and printing out that sheet of paper and helping my mom read it off as we're going somewhere. It's really not a bad idea to bring that back. And, you know, obviously, you know, don't Google abortion clinic in XYZ, you know, city and print that out. There's a coffee shop nearby. You can search for that. I hate to sound conspiratorial, but this is just the reality that we're living with. And I'm sure that many, many people will be successful in finding the help that they need out of state or online. But you want to be careful, because we really are coming into uncharted territories at the moment.
Yeah, indeed.
And if you're using an app or something like that, to find location, there is like on Google Maps, there is a way to, so only while it's open, it's tracking your location. When you close it out, your location should not be being tracked. That again, I'd be still a little bit paranoid on. I like Genevieve's idea of like finding a coffee shop. That'd be like a last resort if you're absolutely hopeless about directions, which I can understand, because I'm back in those MapQuest days. It took me about 3 times as long to find the location as the estimation the majority of the time, because I always got lost. So I understand these paranoid tips are not going to be easy for everybody. I might even like suggest practice runs to like different locations that you're not sure of, and trying to get a better idea of how you can figure out these locations instead of the day of when you actually do need an abortion, that you're just doing it while you're nervous and trying to figure things out. Maybe like figure out right now, before there's any kind of problem with you, figuring out where your plan, figuring out where you can go, and finding your route, because if you've gone by an abortion clinic like 7 months ago or something like that, it's going to be hard for them to like track that when you're actually needing of it. So I'd be thinking ahead for every single step that you could possibly make for this, because they're not going to make it easy, but you gotta make it as difficult as possible for you to get in trouble with this kind of thing.
Yeah, and really quickly, last thing, don't pay with your credit card. Please don't use your credit card. Get yourself some cash. Get a prepaid Visa card. I don't care. Do not use a credit card with your name and all of your information at a clinic. That will not go well.
No, some great advice there, and some great advice in the article. And once again, it is linked down below. It's in the fan Facebook groups if you want to go and take a look at that. But now let's take a break in our conversation. And if you didn't tune into the other ACA shows last week, here is what you missed.
The emphasis on consent, the validation of everybody.
Oh my gosh. I wish that regular, everyday sexual education was conducted in the way in which the kink community conducts themselves, because holy, there's so much to learn from that.
Distinct right stuff. I'm sorry, guys. It's we do not protect the individual liberties of every United States citizen when we should be, right? All this does, this isn't states' rights. This is just states being able to take away people's rights.
Catholic Church, you are the most disgusting institution that has ever been created by people. Go yourself with a cactus, pedazo de mierda. You deserve the worst. That's it.
I wish you wouldn't hold back, Teo.
Raising people from the dead. These are all historical things we cannot observe in our modern world. So that's not really...
What do you mean? So people from the dead, Charles. Whenever I do CPR and get return of spontaneous circulation, I bring people back from the dead.
Even if it is not a crime under the laws of man, it is a crime under God.
Nobody gives a f*** about whether or not your God approves of abortion. Your God is a monstrous thug, and I couldn't give a f*** what he thinks even if he were real.
Big bully, you piece of shit. You little bitch. I'll kick your
Cry for me, David. Cry harder. Cry harder that your rights are being taken away. Oh, David, I'm so sorry. I'm a big bully. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. How dare I stand up for other people's rights and make arguments that you can't rebut? It's the end of the world, David.
Our main article for segment 3 is from Input by Andrew Paul and is from the 24th of June 2022. This article tells us how people are fighting back against the decision and contains a compiled list of suggested resources, including the National Abortion Fund, If, When, How, who provide a legal advice helpline for anyone concerned about legal implications surrounding abortions or miscarriage, brushing up on your own state's abortion laws, and Plan C, which provides safe abortion medicine by mail. There's some great, great stuff in here for how people are fighting back. And like the last article, some great tips for if you want to get involved. And Genevieve, you had some interesting notes on this one.
Yeah, I did. You know, I'm very glad that we mentioned earlier that, you know, big organizations like Planned Parenthood, they are doing fine on funding. I love them, but the best thing you can do is support your small grassroots local community organization. We just went over a lot of measures that you can take to protect your digital privacy and your security. But when we are talking about traveling out of state or finding resources, particularly through strangers, you need to keep your own safety, your physical safety, in check as well. There's a lot of people that I've seen on my social media in the last few weeks that have been saying, hey, if you need to go camping, I've got a free tent. It's in my backyard. It's totally legal to go camping up to 20 weeks and what have you. And I love that energy and that sentiment, but it's important that we remember that there are community organizers who have been doing this work for decades. They have the infrastructure. They have the measures in place to vet people who assist them. They have procedures and it is always best to turn to them. This is not our main character moment to stand up and become the hero who is single-handedly going to house everybody out of state. It's not effective. And I hope that we can really support these organizations like the Abortion Fund and the WWRAP, your local abortion funds as well.
Yeah, I've seen so many of the camping ones, and they're definitely, I like the idea of it, but I'm just going to go right out and say, this is a dangerous idea. You don't do this, because I know, like, everybody sounds like they're coming off great in this, and like, I think the majority of them probably think that they're going to be some kind of a hero by doing this. And then some people are there for clout, but there's definitely going to be people that can take advantage of strangers. So definitely, that's why you go for the organizations that are listed in this input article, instead of going for like some random nice person that you met on the internet. Maybe you can trust like a close friend with it, maybe, but I'd still say go with the organizations that are made to do this, instead of going for some rando on the internet. This article, the input says they're going to continue to update it. So again, I don't know that we can suggest putting it in your bookmarks right now with the last article was, because then you're bookmarking information about how to get safe abortions. But write this website down somewhere and maybe check back on it from time to time to see how the article is getting updated, because this is going to be a continually moving, updating article about it. But it lists places like Links to Jezebel, which is a site that has links to all these organizations that can help you out and get you the safe abortions closest to where you're at, because we can't. I know everybody wants to go Planned Parenthood, because that's the name that we know, and that's the name that unfortunately a lot of the people that are against abortions know as well. But they're well funded for the most part, and again, not every location has a history of being helpful under these conditions. So like, you want to be going for the ones that are known for helping out, and Jezebel's putting up a pretty comprehensive list for that. There's a list that you can donate also on here, listed on here, with If How When is an organization that has a helpline for fighting against the criminalization of it. That's an article that's where you can put your money if you don't personally need the abortion. You can be fighting against this corrupt decision through that website. There's just a lot of little tiny things you can do. If the only thing you've been able to do right now is go out in the streets and show that you're angry, or post memes and showing that you're angry, this is going to help you actually do something a little bit more useful with your time and money.
Yeah, Zach.
So on top of this, even though we've said all this, Lord knows that some people will still protest, and to them I'll say, please just be careful. We've talked about your digital safety, and Genevieve talked about your physical safety. This goes for protesting. Be sure to take lots of water, stay hydrated, don't start anything, and this is also, be sure to write down emergency contact information so you know who to contact, because you don't want to take your cell phone. And finally, be careful when dealing with police. As shown so far with all the nationwide protests, is that pro-choice protesters have received the brunt of the violence, and police will continue to do this. So remember, if you do get arrested, and even if you didn't do anything wrong, don't say anything. Call your lawyer and be prepared to fight it. That's about all I have to say there.
Yeah, I think there's a... It's also worth pointing out, and somebody mentioned this in the first article as well, that the abortion, this thing isn't coming, and it's not just a blanket thing, it's coming in state by state. And this article tells us that it's as good time as any to brush up on your own state's abortion laws and restrictions. And the article that we've got linked in the description has a link to ABC News, which has a helpful breakdown of state-by-state situations. And on that note as well, remember that you have a vote. And when these things are being put into your state and coming into your state and being talked about in your state and perhaps implemented in your state, it's your voice and you lobbying your politicians that may make the difference. And it's worth checking out those little intricate details that they might be trying to kind of sweep under the carpet a little bit, as politicians tend to do. Just go and do that little bit of extra research and lobby your politicians and let them know that you know what's going on. Don't let them dictate to you what is going to happen. You know, they work on your behalf. They don't dictate to you what is going to happen. It's your vote that matters. So make sure you're registered to vote. And, you know, I'm not telling you how to vote. You vote however you want. But, you know, I know you're going to make the right decision, Genevieve.
I love that. I love that. I have a couple of things that I just want to add on to that as well. I know that the Biden administration, for example, has said that they want to take measures to ensure that FDA approved medication for any sort of reproductive services are available via the U.S. Postal Service and that telehealth is available. Unfortunately, though, telehealth is regulated on a state level. So there's a lot of situations where you're not going to be able to find that. There are organizations in Europe on your side of the pond, Richard, that will assist you and send you medication. Those organizations, they can be a bit pricey, though. Something else that you can do is you can look up the medication that you need that is 97% effective up to 8 weeks, 87% effective up to 11 weeks. And you can actually order that from international pharmacies and they will deliver to you. I believe you can order from a pharmacy in India and it'll be less than a dollar. So that is a very good cost-effective way to do that. If you do need to travel, check with, I mean, I wouldn't just go up and ask your employer, but I know, for example, the day that this was announced, Dick's Sporting Goods reached out and let all of their employees know that they would provide up to $4,000 in reimbursement for travel costs if you live in an unsafe state. So, you know, see if that is available to you. Hell, I might even get a part-time job there just for, you know, just that's a pretty good safety measure that they have a pretty good, I don't know about the rest of their, you know, healthcare plans, but, what they have available, but that alone is actually pretty sweet. And lastly, just to sort of add on to some tips that Zach shared, when it comes to protecting yourself as a protester, you can, you know, definitely write down phone numbers on your arm. You can use, obviously, you know, permanent marker is a really good one. Liquid eyeliner, and then you can seal that with some hairspray and that won't wash off. If you are somebody who wears makeup, don't wear oil-based makeup. It will, like, tear gas will stick to that. Please do not wear contacts, wear glasses. Do not wear any clothing that has any sort of label, any sort of identifier. Pull your hair back, cover it tightly. Do not let any bit of you show that can be possibly incriminating. Wear a plain mask. If you have visible tattoos, please cover those up. There are so many measures that you need to take to stay safe. Yeah, Richard, you're kind of screwed. That's why I kept all of my tattoos above my elbow, not specifically for this reason, but it is helpful. But yes, just regardless, please just stay safe and know that you are not alone. And there's an army of people who are out there willing to help.
Yeah, I know this article is largely about resources for people staying safe and what they can use. But I think it's also worth mentioning that if you can and if you have the time, and if it is very importantly safe for you to do so, you can also volunteer for some of these organizations. And if you can do that and you can help people safely, and if you have that resource behind you, that's also another way that you can help. If you want to go out and help people, it doesn't have to be a kind of, we're talking about camping, and I only learned this term very recently. I think I might have even been Josh who brought it up to me the other day. And I thought they were talking about going camping in some mountains. I had no idea. I was a complete ignorant. And, you know, even if it's not, you know, trying to help people on that level, go and volunteer for like organizations where you can just help people, even if it's just taking donations and passing them on. If you are able to do that, that's another very, very good way that you can help. But anyway, Josh, apart from educating me on tentery and abortions, what else have you got for us?
Well, again, on the input article, which, again, it's going to constantly update. So keep coming back to this article when you can, because that's how you're going to get good information. But it lists about the Plan C, where you can get a safe abortion through the mail, which I think Genevieve did bring up. But you can also, it lists donations where you can put your money where your mouth is and help out towards that. And just the National Abortion National Network of Abortion Funds. That's where you can find your local abortion center and help with that. Volunteer with that if it's possible. I know it's hard to. Everybody has busy lives now, especially with how everything's expensive. So everybody has to constantly be working. So I know not everybody can volunteer, but do whatever little thing you can to take care of this issue, because this isn't something that's going to go away soon. We have those justices in for a while. So we got to be ready to fight for the long haul. We got to be able to ready to vote in our states to make sure that the blue states are staying blue and that they're keeping people, or at least keeping people who care about abortion rights in office, instead of letting the people that are pro-life take over the states.
Yeah, definitely. Genevieve.
Yeah, I would just, add a little addendum there. It's important to remember that, just because somebody's affiliated with one political party or another doesn't mean that they're going to have the same opinions about some of these issues. I know that there's quite a few anti-choice Democrats who are on ballots this year. I know it is so frustrating being told constantly to vote and to vote and to vote, especially because in many cases it feels like our votes don't matter, but they really, really do. Particularly when you're talking about your statewide elections and your local elections. A lot of people will know the names of the senators that they have in DC representing their states, but the people who are making these decisions that are affecting individual states, those are your state legislatures. And those are people who likely have an office within 30 minutes of your house, and you can go talk to them. Their constituency is not the entirety of the United States. Their constituency is your one district in your corner of the state. And so please just, I know it's frustrating to be told to vote over and over and over again, but it is very, very important. So regardless of the way that you vote, in any situation, you should make sure that your voice is heard, because there are going to be a lot of people fighting against you, and they are making sure they're definitely winning.
Yeah. They definitely are, Zach.
Yeah, just to continue off what Genevieve said, voting is important. I've seen that a lot of, at least people of my generation, of Generation Z, have been sort of disenfranchised with voting, or disillusioned with voting, rather. And it sort of doesn't appeal. And they'll still go out and protest, but they won't vote. And sure, it may be frustrating to vote, but it is the bare minimum that you can do. It was established so that you have a voice. That is first and foremost what you should do, is vote. But still, do donate, do participate in direct action, but voting is the first step.
Yeah, voting is the first step. And, I was one of those people. I didn't vote for a long time, and I thought it was a waste of time. And, it took me a long, long time to get into that mindset, with a lot of education from a lot of clever people. That's what you need. That's what you need to do to elicit change. I was always one of these go and spoil your vote kind of people. And fortunately, my mind has been changed by people a lot cleverer than me. And, I would implore being on that side of the fence, especially to kind of younger people, I feel like waving a walking stick about, to younger people, don't make the mistakes I did and use your whole, spend half your life being kind of anti-establishment and thinking you all punk rock. Go and vote, because that's the best thing you can do to make change. You know what I mean? And that's a brilliant. And it all comes down to education. And I will never, ever stop banging. If you've ever seen me on the nonprofits before, you know that I will not ever stop banging on and on about education. It's vitally important. And it's important because we've got you have a Supreme Court that is comprised of 6 Catholics, 2 Protestants, and 1 Jew. And you've essentially got people who are making decisions who take their ethics from a period that lasted from roughly 3,500 to 1,500 years ago, interpreting old dusty books concerning a mythical figure. And that's where they take them. And I'm not going to brush over it, because that's exactly what it is. That's where these decisions are being made, by those people who believe those things. And this needs shouting out from the rooftops. And that's why education is so, so important in these matters. But we'll wrap this one up. Have a few final thoughts. Zach, we'll go with you first.
Yeah, be sure to vote. Keep yourself safe during protests. Remember to hydrate. People always forget water. And if you are going to wear clothing, best not to do black. Please let it be nondescript, but not black. You're going to get overheated way too easy.
Yeah, Genevieve.
Yeah, like I said, please don't jump up and try to be a hero. Go support your local community organizations. If there is a gap that has not been filled by anybody, yes, that is a great time for you to go and organize. And the last thing that I do want to say about voting, I know that wasn't totally not the topic of this article, but it is so important, so I'm going to throw it in there anyway. I know many people who are incredibly informed and who are incredibly educated on the system. And they're educated to the point where they understand that, yes, the entire system of the United States, the entire foundation of this nation is a broken system founded on white supremacy and colonialism. And I know that it can feel so frustrating to participate in this broken system. But I want to remind you that this is not an endorsement of this system. And sitting out your vote to uphold your principles, it's not going to do anything to actually make people's lives better. Yes, we need, I mean, I believe the Founding Father said that we needed to rewrite the Constitution at least every generation. Yeah, we're long overdue for that. But sitting this out isn't, you know, it's not going to make anything better in the meantime. So please go vote.
Josh, final words.
Genevieve did a good correction on me when I almost accidentally did a vote blue no matter who, because you definitely got to be looking at a case-by-case basis. You cannot just go into the generalities on this. Look at what people are saying, where their stances are on abortions, because of all the things that were talked about in this article are great things that you can do to help people out, or and like fund organizations that can help people out if you're not able to. But we also need to be playing the same system as best we can, even though it's a rigged system, even though there's gerrymandering going on and garbage like that. They got those justices in court to overturn this by playing the system. They played it slow and methodically, but they've been like forcing little bits of their initiative this in for years and years. And now we got to be, it's definitely hard to say be patient, because this is horrible and this is not something that should be happening to people right now, but we got to play it as patiently as we can and play the system. We got to be getting the votes out there. And despite the fact that we don't see changes right away, we got to be continually fighting for it. We got to continually fund these organizations that are fighting against it. And we got to do our part where we can. Don't just, I understand every once in a while you're going to need a day to yourself to just like feel sad about it. But when you've had that day and you're feeling energized and ready to fight, be ready to fight about it.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we, you know, become a member of a political party of your choice and elicit change. And you can also become a member, see what I did there, lovely segue, of this channel for as little as 99 cents a month. Click the join button below the video, and this will give you access to special chat emojis. Also, we have a brand new store. Visit tiny.cc/merchaca to get your favorite items like t-shirts, hoodies, and coffee mugs. Look at that lovely selection there. You can check out our new items like beanies, phone cases, and tote bags. And all ACA shows feature a special limited edition item each month. So be sure to check out that our store for non-profits merchandise and merchandise from all the other shows. Okay, so we're going to change the mood up slightly here. It's been a heavy episode, so let's talk about something a little different. Zach will be taking us into our fourth segment, Looking Back.
So for the fourth...
Looking Back.
So for the fourth and final segment of the episode, we have an article from the Free Thought Almanac. This article was written by Ronald Meyer in 2011 called Churches v. Scholarship, and it's over a syllabus published in 1907 by Pope Pius X that was supposed to point out 65 errors that progressive scholars had made at the time. And you know, I always thought it was common knowledge that the Catholic Church has done all in their power to ensure their power. What are y'all's thoughts?
Genevieve, I'll let you go because I'll just go on forever on this one once I start.
Yeah, and you know, that's probably a safe bet because, you know, most of my focus has largely been on, you know, Protestant, evangelical, white American Christianity. So I'm not incredibly familiar with Catholic history. But I will say that I found this whole article pretty dang funny. It reminded me so much of what we see, you know, throughout the evangelical movement, which is this disdain for what is it, modernist intellectualism. I can't even say that without laughing, but like I literally just the other day I was scrolling through my social media feed and I saw a church sign that said, "Don't educate yourself out of a relationship with God." I think that tells you a lot. And it is frustrating because I do have Catholic friends and there have been Catholic scientists who have made amazing strides. And it's so funny that this guy has the audacity to say it out loud that you guys are too smart and you're doing too many studies and I don't like what you're learning and we need to stop learning stuff. Stop it now.
It does sound very much like the forerunner of the modern apologist. When I read this, I was doing the same. I was chuckling away to myself. And I've come across many, many of these apologists, and I'm trying so hard not to spit the names out. But they want to set aside the quest for what is true or likely true in favor of what is held dear. Josh, what have you got?
Well, it just seems, and this hasn't changed in all these years, that they wanted to separate religion and the scientists that are probing into the religion because they're not compatible. Because you'll see problems with what is happening in the religion and see that it doesn't add up. One of the things that they put in this article is the church has no right to pass judgment on the ascensions of the human sciences. Like, that very much seems like, don't probe into this. Like, close your eyes. Don't educate yourself. Just believe what I'm telling you. And I do know that it used to be a thing in the church that only religious people could teach the Bible, and they're the only ones that could read it, because as soon as you start to learn about this stuff and start applying a critical mind to it, it doesn't add up. And that's very much seemed what Pius was all about, was like, no. Just trust me, take my word for it, and we don't need all this progressivism, which it definitely sounds like the Catholics of today.
Yeah, Zach, you had an interesting example.
So I do, if anybody here has seen the movie Stigmata, you'll know what I'm talking about. Back in 1945, after this syllabus was written, of course. So first thing to point out, Pope Pius X said that one of the errors the scholars made was that they found verses that Jesus sort of undermined the need for a church. And this is back in 1907. So imagine the shock in 1945 when a text is discovered in Egypt. It's written in Coptic, and once translated, it has essentially become the Gospel of Thomas. Now, it was written in Coptic, but scholars believe that it was first written in Aramaic, for those of you that don't know, was the supposed language of Jesus, which means that the authority of this text comes straight from the Word of God, apparently. Now, here's the interesting thing. Here's, I think it's verse 77b, took a while to get right, but it goes a little something like this. The kingdom of God is within you and all around you, not in mansions of wood and stone. Split a piece of wood and I am there. Lift a stone and you will find. This idea of the ubiquity of God, that you can go straight to the kingdom. You don't need a church. Can you imagine what that would do? The shit show that would follow if the Catholic Church, one of the most powerful political and economic institutions in the world at the time and currently, recognized that as canon. I should mention that the Catholic Church does control what is canon in Roman Catholicism. And so it's like, come on, dude. Can't say dude. He already ignored a bunch of stuff because it's a constant in the New Testament that Jesus was very anti-authoritarian. And so for this to come out, I should note that the moment that this was translated, the moment this was discovered, the Catholic Church declared it as heresy. To believe that the Gospel of Thomas was true was heresy. That's how bad it was. That's how evil it was. That's how threatening it was to the Catholic Church. And so they've never had a tradition of interpreting the Word of God. The Catholic Church exists to legitimize its own power, the luxury of its leaders, and to legitimize the rule of tyrants who happen to fall under their rule. That's all it does.
You know, what's funny about that as well is that, you know, just as you mentioned, that was written in Aramaic, and the Gospels that we currently have as canon were all written in Greek anyway, which not Jesus nor his followers would not have been speaking, let alone writing. So you could even go so as far to say is that, you know, the Gospel of Thomas should be more canonical than, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I just really quickly, I'm just imagining the Pope and everybody at the Vatican reading that and just saying, oh shit, what are we going to do with all this stuff now? And I think that the Vatican would make an amazing refugee center. I bet it would make a great health clinic, put a couple of cool Airbnbs in there. They should definitely give it all away. That would be really wonderful.
Yeah, with Jesus being against the church and people not needing that kind of environment, they're not going to be able to pay for the sweet Pope robes anymore. I'd be waiting for the yard sale on that, because I might get a couple for myself. Like, this is very much just like the Catholic Church doing whatever it can to defend itself and get it away from scholarship. It's funny how that keeps happening over and over again.
You see the Cardinals? Yeah. They're extremely stylish. They have to pay for it somehow. Come on.
Yeah, and I think Zach's idea of calling the Pope dude should become ingrained in some kind of law, because I'd love for people to address him in such a way. Look, the Catholic Church has always, well, not just the Catholic Church, Christianity itself from its very inception has always been very protective from literally the moment Jesus died. There was different groups following him with different ideas, and I think a lot of Christian believers have this idea that there has been a Christianity with the same tenets since the very beginning. But what a lot of them don't realize is that we didn't even have a Bible as we know it today in a single volume, in a single language, till nearly 400 AD. And that was commissioned by St. Jerome. And the interpretation of them, even before that, and after that Bible was put together, the interpretations around some of the doctrines within it have always been disputed. We had two ecumenical councils before the Bible was put together, trying to decide whether Jesus was even God or not. And then after that, it wasn't until after that we had the Bible, as we know it today, that they actually decided that Jesus was both God and man. People need to, Christians especially, need to do this little bit of learning for themselves, because as Genevieve said right at the very beginning of this, you go to the pulpit and you listen to what's coming out of it, and that is your education on Christianity in a lot of cases. For most Christians, that is their education on Christianity. But there's so much history there. And there has never been a Christianity. There were all these early Christian groups and all these different ideas that have been bickered about throughout the centuries. And whether it's in the early days where people were just excommunicated after the first 300 or 400 years when the ecumenical councils were starting, whether it's just people being excommunicated right up until when you had the Anabaptists, who were slaughtered in the thousands by Catholics and Protestants for having a different interpretation. There's been bickering all the way through, and every different like mainstream Christian group wants to protect their ideas and have them as the orthodox ones. And that's exactly what the Catholic Church has built up around the centuries doing it. And that's how it's got its power. Zach, you had something else to talk about.
Yes, I did. I'm sure that there is a little known historical figure. Well, I guess nobody's heard of him by the name of Galileo Galilei, the little known mathematician and astronomer, of course. Galileo in 1610 made the discovery that, well, the Earth is not the center of the universe. And back in 1610, this is a major discovery. And so, of course, he goes to the church and he lets them know. And of course, it's declared blasphemy. And so this is really bad. Galileo ends up having to apologize to the public. He has to publicly apologize and say that he's wrong. And then he gets put in jail for life by the Catholic Church. But I will have to give the Catholic Church credit. They hastily apologized soon after his death in 1642. John Paul II, he quickly apologized in 1992 for the treatment of Galileo Galilei. And I bring this up because Pius X said that one of the criticisms that was undue is that the Catholic Church stood in the way of scientific progress. But by this, we can see that the Catholic Church obviously doesn't. They don't stand in the way of scientific progress. And even if they did, they would quickly rectify the problem.
Yeah, right. Okay, quick final thoughts on this one, and then we'll move on to the final announcements. We'll start with Josh.
I don't really have much to add to this other than that this seems like the Catholic Church doing it over and over again. Actually, it seems like all churches over and over again doing this kind of thing. They're manipulating the text so that they can seize the kind of power that they want to get. They're manipulating the scholarship so that they can get the kind of power that they want to get. And like Bible readings today is basically, or Bible classes or whatever today is basically reaffirming what they've already been taught over and over again, as opposed to actually looking at the criticisms. For the most part, that's what I've seen from my friends that have done Bible study. I haven't done it myself, but they just repeating the what's come from the pulpit and just reinforcing like weird interpretations on this means Jesus loves you. Ignore this passage here. They're always having like an idea of what should be going to the public and what people should actually be looking at. And it's just constant manipulation from the days of Pius X till now and probably before Pius X.
Yeah, definitely. Genevieve.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when we talk about the lengths that people will go to reinterpret scripture in a way that either benefits them personally, financially, or one that just benefits their feelings, because they don't want to think that their book could be written in a way that doesn't already support their preconceived notions and beliefs. It's super convenient. But, you know, I remember talking to a Christian friend of mine about how she wanted to dive into her faith journey by being a Christian the way that Jesus would have imagined. And as we pointed out, there were so many different sects of Christianity, even within the first few decades of its formation. I mean, we had the Gnostics, the Marcionites, the Ebionites, all of the councils. None of this has ever been agreed upon. And even today, you know, thousands of years later, we have thousands of sects and thousands of different beliefs. And I would just behoove you to always search for truth, no matter where it leads you, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it challenges your firmly held beliefs, follow the evidence and follow the truth wherever it may lead you.
Yeah. And if you are interested in looking, if you are a Christian and you're interested in learning more about biblical history, please use scholars. And there are some fantastic Christian believing scholars out there. You don't have to just think, well, atheist scholars are going to lie, because Christian scholars and atheist scholars tend to agree, because what they are is professionals, and stick on that route. Don't go listening to the apologists who, as the name suggests, will try and convince you that Christianity is true, regardless of what the actual facts are. Okay, so we're coming up to the end of the show. Please, please, please join our fan social media outlets. You can find most of the nonprofit's hosts on the Atheist Community of Discord by going to tiny.cc/ACD Discord and on Facebook at tiny.cc/FBNP. If you would like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at tiny.cc/PatreonNP. If you find yourself already shopping at Amazon, support the Atheist Community of Austin by shopping at smile.amazon.com and selecting the Atheist Community of Austin as a beneficiary. Be sure to use that link to help out the ACA. We really, really do appreciate it. And we value your feedback. Tell us what you like and what you don't like. And if you think I talk too much in the comments, just tell us that as well. Email us at nonprofits@atheist-community.org. Also, visit the Atheist Community of Austin's official website at atheist-community.org on the latest of what's been happening, and feel free to contact the ACA at tv@atheist-community.org. Okay, so final thoughts on the show as a whole, Josh.
I know right now everything's overwhelming. There's a lot of information to take in. There's a lot of just like every day feels like something bad is going on right now. And it's hard not to just fall into like a depression spiral with just the way the world is going. But if you're capable, like take care of your mental health. But if you're capable of fighting back against what's going on, I implore you to do your best to help fight what's going on. It's going to take a lot out of us. You're probably going to need breaks every once in a while. Don't like push yourself to oblivion trying to fight this, but do what you can. Know your limits, but do what you can.
Genevieve.
Yeah, I will share that sentiment as well. It's important to remember that, yes, the world is terrifying, but it is not all on your shoulders. If you do not take care of yourself, you will not be able to take care of others. And we're going through severe trauma right now. We have been for years. I can't remember a time in my life when it felt like we weren't living through a massive, terrifying shift in history. Just remember that this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. You need to rest. And most importantly, in all cases, you need to educate yourself and arm yourself with the knowledge. Know your rights. Know what resources you have at your disposal. Know all the different things that you can do to protect yourself, whether you are out there on the streets and fighting, whether you are out there contacting your congressperson or your local politician, and knowing exactly what to expect when you are expecting to expect and you do not want to expect and you need to get rid of the situation. And if you are a pro-choice Christian, or a pro-choice person whatsoever, regardless of your religious affiliation, you should educate yourself a little bit on the multitude of reasons why people with uteruses would need abortion. You should educate yourself with why it was not always seen as a sin by a vast majority of Christians in the United States. And you should educate yourself on the origins of your whole Bible, because if you're going to base your entire life around an outdated text, you should probably know how it came to be the way that it is.
Definitely. Zach.
And I'm gonna
to have lost Zach. So okay. Oh, it's been audience? A fantastic show. Thank you very much all for watching and listening, and we will see you next time.
Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/ytth and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callth.